It's Morning Edition from NHPR. The term fake news became part of the national lexicon leading up to last year's presidential election. But in the months since President Trump took office, there's now been a flurry of liberal conspiracy theories being spread across social media. Brendan Nyhan is a professor at Dartmouth College and a New York Times contributor. He studies fact-checking and the spread of political misinformation. He joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning.
Many of these conspiracy theories or fake news stories have to do with President Trump and his campaign's connections to Russia. What are you seeing?
Well, I'm seeing a disturbing trend of people taking the very serious and real questions about Russian interference in our election and using that as a pretext for all sorts of wild and unsupported conspiracy theories. These are often coming from internet personalities and people who work on social media, but they're infiltrating into the discourse more generally through liberal elites who are amplifying them. So we're seeing a spread of these claims out into the mainstream in a way that I think is potentially worrisome.
Well, can you give me some examples?
Well, sure. There are so many conspiracies out there right now that it's hard to even keep track. Most recently, Luis Mensch, who's become an influential conspiracy monger, suggested that secret impeachment proceedings were underway, making a series of claims that are falsified by the text of the Constitution itself in terms of how impeachment works. It sounds ludicrous, but that's the kind of information that's being circulated. We're seeing people like the Harvard Law professor Lawrence Tribe amplifying these claims. We're seeing people like former Clinton Secretary of Labor Robert Reich suggesting that left-wing protesters at Berkeley were actually in cahoots with the far right. We're seeing MSNBC host Lawrence O'Donnell suggesting that Vladimir Putin had allowed or encouraged chemical weapons attacks in Syria so that Donald Trump could launch missiles against Syria and boost his popularity ratings. The list goes on and on, and it's quite remarkable how quickly it's turned around. It's important to remember Democrats spent the last 8 years complaining about the birther myth and other sorts of conspiracy theories about Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton, and now just a few months later, here we are.
You know, during the debate over the health care law recently, there was a lot of misinformation spreading about what was actually in the bill. And there were even stories about politicians, celebrating over beer, which were later debunked. You know, what's the root cause of that? How does something like that get going?
People are looking for bits of factual information that seem to confirm a pre-existing narrative. And this is the problem of confirmation bias. Some person was pushing a crate of beer on a dolly through the Capitol. It was seen by a reporter who took a picture and suggested maybe it was going to a celebration of the passage of the Republican health care bill in the House. And that idea resonated with people. Republicans were celebrating the passage of this bill, and that became a kind of pseudo-fact supporting what opponents saw as an inappropriate celebration of the bill's passage, even though it turned out that the beer was unrelated to the health care bill itself. We're seeing that sort of pattern in much more serious circumstances when it comes to the Russia investigation, where every piece of information that comes out is being spun and interpreted in the worst possible ways, and in some cases we're seeing outright fabrications or speculation, being repeated and amplified.
It almost reminds me of the old childhood, game of telephone. You tell someone something and it gets changed and altered. It might have started as a little, there might have been a kernel of truth somewhere, but it just gets morphed into something that has nothing to do with the truth.
That's right. And, we all can take some responsibility for this in the kinds of information we share on social media. We're all potentially complicit in the spread of misinformation. And everyone will be fooled. That's part of the medium, for better or for worse. What I've been disappointed to see is how many people don't exercise appropriate care in what they do amplify and fail to correct the record when the information that they've circulated turns out to be wrong. In a game of telephone, the misinformation only travels among your circle of friends. But of course, in the present day, it can go viral all around the country and the world, often within minutes or hours. And by the time that story is debunked, the misinformation's already out there, and many of the people who saw that false story will never actually see the correction telling them it was wrong.
Brendan Nyhan is a professor at Dartmouth College and a New York Times contributor. Thank you for the time.
Thank you.